Matters of the Universe is intended for adult audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Welcome to Matters of the Universe. It's me, Orko. This week, creatures from the tar swamp. Oh, it's another episode where I fall in love with a woman who could never love me. Pretty familiar? Pretty familiar. Orko, when will you find love? Oh, I mean, there's no women on Eternia that look like me. That's not a good look, my friends. Anyway, let's give it to the mats. Orko, away!
Welcome to Matters of the Universe, where we are watching every episode of children's television show Masters of the Universe and telling you all about it. I'm Matt Noss. With me is Matt Rose. How you doing, Matty?
I want to just get right through this.
You want to just barrel into this son of a gun?
Yeah. Let's do it, man.
This week's episode, Creature of the Tar Swamp.
Creatures from the Tar Swamp.
Oh, from. I put of. No, that's what you get
Matt,
when you only look at the title card for milliseconds. Matt, you got some details about it?
I do. This was the 18th episode. It was directed by Marsh Lashmore, who sounds like a fake name, right?
It sounds like
a swashbuckling
get out of here
pirate type of
you
character.
You gotta watch out for Larsh Lashmore.
So
Marsh Lashmore?
Marsh Lashmore.
Marsh Lashmore.
Yeah. So I saw that name and I was like, A, bullshit. B, like, let me guess. He's done like dinosaurs or something.
Exactly.
Well, he did do stuff like Fat Albert, He-Man, She-Ra. Geez, there were a couple others where I saw him where I was like, I see everybody worked on this in the 80s. Like, whatever. Yeah. Then he had stuff like Lion King, Pocahontas, and Aladdin.
What?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, all right. No, he's worked on legitimate stuff. Let his name slide this time.
Marsh Lashmore, you're off the list.
Why did you work on this show?
I guess you gotta start somewhere.
He also worked on Filmation's Ghostbusters. Ooh. I wanted to leave it off because that show deserves to be left off. But
I just wanted to
knock him down a peg, basically.
Exactly.
I think you're so great working on Disney stuff. And then the writer.
You worked on a show where the enemy was known as Prime Evil.
Ugh, just terrible. One of your heroes was a gorilla in a jacket wearing a dumb hat.
Yeah, he was in a safari outfit.
Oh my God. Just.
And to make matters worse, the car transformed.
Oh, the car was so just.
It was a jalopy, and then it became a jet?
Yeah, it became whatever they needed it to become. Man.
Exactly, yeah. I think at one point it became a submarine.
Yeah, most likely. I always forget, though, that was Filmation. So
yeah,
even though I always say Filmation's Ghostbusters, I don't connect the two.
Right.
Because I just want to forget that it ever happened, but it happened. It happened.
Well, oof. When did Creature from the Tar Swamp air?
That was 83, it looked like.
Holy cow.
So 18th episode, this would have been
first
half of the year. So the writer was Richard Pardee. And the only thing that he had ever worked on was He-Man, apparently.
Mm.
He wrote the story, and then he and Paul Dini wrote the script, so to speak.
Okay. Well, it's... not much of a script. There's a...
I want to say that this episode was written after Richard Pardee got dumped.
Richard Pardee, famous nerd, was at the prom with his dream girl that he had bought everything in the world for.
Mm-hmm.
And then she left him at the prom.
For another guy. A guy who could give her more stuff.
Yep.
Or...
Yeah, she left him for TJ Moneybags.
Yeah.
The guy who had a sweet hot rod.
Probably a golden hot rod. It was basically
a golden hot rod.
Yeah.
Well,
So it's the episode starts on Palace Eternia. I had been calling it Castle Eternia this whole time. I feel like a fool. It is apparently Palace Eternia.
How dare we?
I know. I feel
How
like
dare we
I feel
do
like
no such... research about this show that we've been watching.
Well, they've never called it Palace Eternia. I mean, like Palace Guards and stuff.
True.
But, you know, whatever, man. You just figure that. I don't want to get into it. So some stupid ship arrives in the like courtyard, and all the, you know, the king, queen, man-at-arms, Teela, Prince Adam, Cringer, Orko, and then, you know, like two random guards are there waiting.
Yep.
Ship lands. Lady Edwina gets out.
Boom.
Boom.
Now, Lady Edwina is supposed to be this bombshell.
Mm-hmm.
She is far from a bombshell. They have had better looking female characters on this
they
show.
They have, but... Well, I mean, for one, some of the other female characters they had on that were better looking
were
also,
all Evil Lynn. They were all Evil Lynn in costume.
They,
let's just face
or,
it.
Or it was a sexy cat. Or,
true.
But they also had better personalities.
Yes.
Where Edwina is a straight up bitch.
Oh, my God.
Like, she shows up. Well, and then she makes, like, a gross comment about Adam.
I wrote down, Edwina is straight macking on Prince yeah. Adam.
So, like, she shows up, and she's like, oh, like, hello, uncle. And he's like, Edwina, oh, I'm so glad to see you, blah, blah, blah. You might not recognize him, but here's your cousin, Adam. And she's just like...
Squish, squish.
Yeah, like, hey, what's up, Adam? If we weren't cousins, I would fuck you right now.
Suck your dick off, Adam.
Yeah. And I mean, like, Matt and I might be exaggerating a little bit, but that is literally the feeling you get. Is she's just like, hey, I understand that there are customs around not sleeping with your cousin, but...
Prince Adam hears this and is so uncomfortable, he's like, this is Orko!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, oh, hey, this is Orko.
And this is Teela and Man-at-Arms. And she goes, it's nice to meet the help.
Well, and she, yeah, and you just, it's funny because immediately Teela and Man-at-Arms have frowns on their face where it's like, look, she slighted you, no doubt. You should be pissed, but at the same time, Teela, you're the queen, or the not the queen. You're the head of the guards, right?
Yep.
And man at arms, you're the head armorer or something, and like head of security or whatever. You've probably had to deal with bigger slights than that from other heads of state. She's just some dumb asshole who shows up and calls you the help. You are the help. Like, I hate to point that out. So when she first meets Orko, he is immediately in love, has a boner, whatever.
I put Orko in the bone zone.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. He, like, you can practically see the Tex Avery heart beating out of his chest. And he's just like, hi, can I make you anything with magic, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and she is immediately creeped out by Orko, which you kind of have to give it to her, like, I would be creeped out by a hovering shirt also.
Exactly.
Well, especially, I mean, like, she knows creeps, okay?
Yeah. This
She's like the Paris Hilton of Eternia.
Yes.
She knows creeps when she sees one, and...
Orko's a creep.
Yeah, straight up creep.
Well, she shuts him down hardcore, and he's like, oh, rats.
So then the king and queen are like, well, let's show you to your quarters. No, I'm sorry. Adam, show her to her quarters. So they leave, and that's when Teela is straight up ready to jack a bitch.
Right. Teela is having none of
she
this.
She goes to punch her, and Man-at-Arms is like, no.
We'll get her later. Just wait. Play the long game, woman. Everyone has to sleep.
I mean, granted, she looks like she's on pills. Like, serious
dude,
pills.
There is a moment where she looks like Miss Prissy. Like, Edwina is straight up Foghorn Leghorn's love interest.
She doesn't look like that. I mean, her eyes do, but...
Well, she's got birdish features.
Well, okay. I can go along with that.
Well, Teela goes to Orko, like, look, I know girls like this. I've been around girls like this my whole life. They don't like you for you. They just like the stuff that you can give them.
And Orko will not shut up about how much in love he is,
dude, with Edwina. Zoned out.
Seriously, his shirt
he has
is
a goddamn
straight up poking out in the front.
He has a third hand that is 4 feet tall come out of his head. It was very phallic.
So it cuts back to Adam showing Edwina, like, oh, hey, here's your room. Whatever.
He leaves. The door shuts. Orko comes. His third hand comes out, knocks on the door.
That third hand's his dick.
Yeah, I know what it is, man. So the music at this point, I just wrote down Yazoo. Because the music straight up sounded like the soundtrack had been provided by Yazoo, which was
right.
A band in the 80s, if you didn't know.
Also known as Yaz.
Oh, that was Yaz?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, Yaz, Yazoo, whatever.
Yep. Yazoo was the long name. And then upstairs.
It was upstairs at Eric's, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Wasn't one of them previously in Depeche Mode, I want to say?
I think one of them was, yes. Yeah.
And not Andy Clark. Shit, I remember. Maria would know.
Right, we'll do our
research later, I guess.
Yeah,
so
lookups.
So Orko opens the... Orko doesn't open the door. He's creepy, but he's not that creepy.
Right.
She opens the door after he knocks on it, and she's like, oh, hi, Porco. And I almost lost it when she said Porco, because I thought that was really funny, because it's like... She knows his name's Orko.
Oh, yeah.
She's just a bitch.
Oh, she's the worst.
So, he's like, I made you something, and, like, puts it in a stupid little box, and she opens it, and she's like, oh, a brooch. Thanks, but I don't have anything that it'll go with.
You idiot.
Yeah, and so, I just wrote, she straight up shits on it, where she's like, this is my horse needed a new horse blanket. little Army of Darkness reference for you.
Vince Clark was in Yazoo, and he was also in Depeche Mode and Erasure.
Erasure, yeah.
Yep.
I knew the Depeche Mode and Erasure part. I got the Clark part, right?
Yep.
It was just the first part that wasn't.
And Alison Moyet.
She like shits on his gift and I think closes the door or whatever. And Adam's just like, Orko, seriously, dude,
knock it off.
Knock it off. Just be yourself, man. Just be yourself.
Then she comes out and, Prince Adam's like, don't worry. I'm going to wing commander it for you.
Yeah.
And then tells this horrible story about when he was a kid with Cringer, and they were lost in the...
Tar Swamp.
The worst part about this whole story is that they get to Adam and Cringer as little kids, and they just are the same voice actor.
Just voice
speaking acting a little bit higher than normal.
Right. It was like,
oh, Adam, I'm scared.
That's a really good Cringer.
Thank you.
That's a really good baby cringe. Yeah, He-Man, if He-Man talked in my voice, this is how he would have sounded when he was a boy.
Seriously, Prince Adam's voice when he's like 15 or 14.
Oh,
I made an audible angry noise.
You were like, oh.
Yeah, where it happened and like I shook my head and like balled my fist up.
You were
not
short,
happy about
you
this.
Were just short of saying the word yuck.
I was pretty disgusted by this.
Yuck.
So I got really annoyed by their explanation of how Orko shows up too, because
right,
dummy number one and dummy number two get stranded in this storm.
Yep.
And the storm apparently was really powerful, so powerful that it opened up a portal that Orko comes through. And he's like, hey, this isn't Chicago or whatever.
Right, this isn't Albuquerque.
And then the portal closes. And then he's just like, oh, well, might as well hover around until something happens. And then you hear Prince Adam yelling like, help, or whatever.
Oh, help me. Oh, I am trapped in a tar swamp. What do you think, baby cringer? Oh, I love this show.
I'm baby cringer.
So
fucking terrible.
It's okay. So they're crying out for help, and Orko's just like, huh? What? Someone needs help?
I got
flies
this.
Over there and like he's wearing this sweet ass medallion. Oh, dude,
it is a baller medallion. Yeah.
And so like they're yelling for help, and he was just like, oh, okay, you know, hocus pocus, dumb magical spell. And a tree reaches over and picks him up and like out of it. And they're just like, oh man, thanks, you powerful magician. You are so great. And so he goes and does a little fucking victory dance, drops his medallion in the tar, and then he was just like, oh, that shouldn't be a problem.
It was very reminiscent of The Greatest American Hero, where he gets the suit and the instruction book and then promptly loses the instruction book.
Yeah, in the first episode. That happens in the pilot.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and
Orko.
And then when they get the book like two more times, and every time he fucks it up.
Yep.
But yeah, that's Orko. So Orko somehow gets them back to Palace Eternia, and they adopt him. I guess, which is what they said in this episode. And I was like, they adopt him? So he's like
family?
He's like Adam's brother?
Yep.
Like, that's fucked up.
Well, what's more fucked up is that he doesn't call him brother. He keeps calling him Orko.
Well, but I mean, I don't call my brother brother.
That's
I call him
true.
Chris.
That's true.
Though if I were to introduce somebody to my brother, I would say this is my brother, Chris. Whereas he always just says this is the palace fool. I mean, magician Orko. Though now that I think about it, I think that is not how I'm going to introduce my brother to everybody. This is the palace fool. I mean, my brother.
Oh, boy.
And then the fighting will begin.
What did you say, pal?
Punch, punch.
Punch, punch. Poop, poop, poop.
I wouldn't say that to my brother.
All right. So that ends it, right? That ends the flashback. He loses the medallion.
Yeah. So he's telling her this dumb fucking story. And so she's like,
hey,
so
that medallion.
Do you still have that? Do you know where that is? Like, no, it's somewhere in the tar swamps.
But if you had it, you could get like anything you wanted.
Like magic stuff would just happen with that thing. Right?
Yeah, totally.
Like bags of money could just like fall out of nowhere. Yeah. Like a Mercedes-Benz Sky Sled would just appear and I would drive that fucking thing till the wheels came off. Like,
yeah,
sure. It's a magic medallion, lady. You can do whatever it wants. Like, oh, okay. All right. That would be really great if you had one. I think that
Orko disappears the moment she says, like, oh, if you had that, that would be great. He's like, I know, good, see you later. Poof.
He flies going, away.
You know where he's going.
Sniffing his finger.
He's like, oh, God, I wish.
I'm getting used to the smell pre-Edwina.
Yeah, this is what my hand used to smell like. It's not going to smell like this anymore because it's going to be reeking of pussy.
Well, that we can only assume that's what it is. We don't know what Orko's in. Well, we only have a taste of what Orko's into, so
he's going to the dark side.
But, hey, man, we don't know. We also don't know what Edwina will put up with. So
well, he's got a 3-foot hand. I mean,
this is very true.
Dude, you gotta imagine the slash fic on this stuff is intense. All right.
We should go on 4chan. Said no one ever.
Said no one ever. I'm just reading some hardcore He-Man episodes.
They're seriously, man. You know the rule.
Oh yeah.
If you can think of a type of porn, it exists.
Oh, it exists.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I know that I bastardized what the rule is, but shut up. So Orko misses breakfast.
Yep.
Teela and Man-at-Arms go there, I think, to kind of give him a little support.
Talk him down a little.
Yeah, talk him up a little bit.
Oh,
because
yeah.
She straight up punched him in the dick with words. And so they kind of show up like, hey, Orko, you know, are you wearing your shirt? No. Hey, look, no one slept in this giant hand bed. Which really, that made me
so
mad.
So weird.
That made me mad
so
as fuck.
So weird.
Because it's not even the way you would imagine sleeping in a hand, where the hand is facing up. The right. hand was facing down.
You're sleeping on the backside of a hand.
Which made me then think, well, wait, hold up. Does he sleep under the hand so that he doesn't fly up to the ceiling and like get burned by one of the lights?
The hand holds him down at
that's,
night?
That's what I'm thinking.
Like if he sleeps, he has to sleep underneath the hand because he won't chain himself down. Everybody knows Orko's not going to chain himself down.
No.
But he will put himself into a hand cage. That is amazing.
I think that's what happened, Matt. So anyway,
because it makes no sense why a hand, right side up hand cradles the backside of a hand.
Well, also, I mean, it's kind of easy to draw, right? Like you take your hand, you look at it, and you draw. If you have to turn your hand the other way,
right?
It's a little more awkward. At least it is for me. And I've had to draw my hand many times.
I'm sure. It's a staple of art.
Yeah. Anyhow, he's not there. And Teela's like, I think I know where he's going.
Tar Swamp.
Well, I was going to say they went and checked out like every porn store on the way. But eventually they're like, well, probably in the Tar Swamp. So they get there. They're looking, they don't get there yet. Orko is flying around, I don't know, twiddling his fingers and trying to cast spells to locate the medallion. And that's when he bumps into the same fucking rock stump that he bumped into before where he lost it. It makes a noise, and then, oh, hey, look at that. Look who's here.
Oh, well, if it isn't Beastman, Skeletor, Evil Lyn.
And so Beastman... Oh, God. Oh. What does Skeletor call him? A furry fool?
You furry fool.
And so he's like, you know, what was that noise, you furry fool? Get over here. And so he goes over there.
And it's like, hey, guess what we got?
We got the primeval potion, baby.
Got the primeval potion, baby. We're going to dump this in this tar swamp.
Yeah, we're going to...
And bring everything that was dead back to life.
Of course, very few things apparently died. In the tar swamp.
Three.
Three things.
I thought
that like tar was an organic material that came from like other stuff, but I could be totally wrong on that.
And a T-Rex.
Yeah. Well, so the Dracodon. Let's talk about the Dracodon for a second.
Oh, okay.
Or as I wrote down, the Aposaurus. Because that's basically what it looked like an ape without fur. That had a lizard tail.
Real garbage.
Real dumb looking thing. Made me mad when I saw it.
Real piece of garbage here. And Skeletor instantly is like, Beastman! Control him! And they show this dumb close-up of Beastman's face, which they've used 100 times. And they just draw some stink lines.
And then give the, like, Aquaman talking to fish.
Yep.
And then... suddenly, this thing is ready to suck Skeletor's dick. We're just like, huh? What?
And I just wrote, dumb dino.
So I think they actually monologued a little bit to to Orko, but who cares?
At this point, who cares?
Well, though I did think it was funny that Orko tried to run away, and Evil-Lyn, who has real magic, cast a spell on Orko that had wings that flew him back, where she was like, we don't need to, like, hurt him or anything. Life has already hurt him.
Life has already dealt Orko.
My evil is my first name. And still.
And even I'm like.
Yeah, just like, cut this guy a fucking break.
He's like the guy trying to pull Johnny off Danny LaRusso. He's like, he's had enough man.
I'll tell you when he's had enough.
That's Skeletor. Johnny is Skeletor.
He is. He totally is.
Because he's wearing a skeleton outfit.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't even think about that, but no, you're right. You're right.
So we cut to Wind Raider with Evil-Lyn, not Evil-Lyn, Teela and Man-at-Arms. They're flying Wind Raider. And then they're like, hey, there's Prince Adam and Cringer.
No, she says, I sure am glad that Prince Adam didn't come along because his bumbling would have caused us serious trouble. And then I think Man-at-Arms was just like, yeah, quiet.
Exactly. But then they cut over, like the Wind Raider flies by.
It flies 20 feet above them. It's not like Prince Adam's outfit is camouflaged to anything.
Pink on green, my friend.
Yeah, no. And then there's fucking Cringer just sitting there. Like you miss a giant green tiger.
A green and orange tiger just casually walking around?
Yeah.
No.
No. And it's not like they were walking around.
It's a wide open field.
Yeah. It's just the two of them. And she's like, man, I sure am glad that Adam didn't come along. Like, he's a nice guy, but he's a total buffoon.
Yep. Me too. Flies by Prince Adam and Cringer. Prince Adam is like, well everybody's gone. Here we go.
So Man-at-Arms was like, well, I sure hope that he calls He-Man. That would be great. Like, God damn it, guys. We know they're calling He-Man. Oh, God.
Really, really hope that He-Man comes along because...
That sure would be great because...
What is it, Man-at-Arms?
Sorry, hold on. I need... I just look forward to talking like Man-at-Arms all week. It's so much fun. So anyway.
So Teela goes to Man-at-Arms. Glad Prince Adam isn't here. Man-at-Arms goes, hey, super happy.
It's good that he didn't come along, but I sure hope he calls He-Man. You know, that would be very helpful to us.
That would advance the plot.
Yeah.
That would really push this story forward.
Otherwise, the story's going to be at least 45 minutes long.
Paul Dini said no.
Paul Dini cut out half this guy's stuff, because all it was about how much of a bitch Edwina is.
There's a solid 10-minute Man-at-Arms rant about the wussification of Eternia and how women like Edwina should be
put in. And then he launched into the whole Eternia Uber Alice thing. Right. Where it's like, God, Duncan lay off!
Dunk is a real piece of garbage.
He is. Like, I know he adopted Teela and stuff. I try to cut him slack for that, but, like, Jesus.
Just turn off Fox News. All right. Now, Prince Adam's in an open field. Perfect time to turn into He-Man. Certainly no
just
other...
Just after your friends just flew by. Hey, they might turn around and say, hey, there's Adam. Does not matter.
Doesn't matter.
Now he turns into Iron Cross Leatherman with Battle Cat. And
there's a little bit of extra Cringer shaking in this transition.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, not really worth mentioning, but I did.
Uncomfortable. The way that I described these fucking things is chicken dactyls.
Yes.
Because they just look like if you took a chicken and then put bat wings on it.
Yeah.
And then gave it a lizard tail because apparently that was the first thing they taught any of their animators how to draw.
I called them
fucking lizard tail.
I called them turd birds. These things show up, but my favorite part about all of this is that Beastman looks at the up in the air and goes, "A wind raider." And I'm like, just say it. You know you want to, Beastman. Available at Toys R Us. Like, it is just product placement. It is just like, look, a toy. I mean, that it's a
look, a toy that retails for $9.99.
It's called,
on sale this week at Kmart.
It's called a Wind Raider. Ting.
Yeah, so yeah. The chicken dactyls go after it. They rip the wing off and then
it crashes.
He-Man shows up as the wing gets ripped off and he was just like, "Oh shit." And so the Wind Raider just flies right towards the mountains, and he was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to catch that." Where it's like, "Oh, your two friends are dead now. You're not even going to try."
He walks. They go to commercial, but it comes back. Or did they?
No, they do what that was. That was commercial break. And they come back, and they're walking around the crash site, and it's just debris everywhere, and like. It came back and I was like, "Oh shit." Yep. Because like I mean, this is not a big vehicle like a 747 or something like that.
No.
This is a glorified couch with wings.
Oh yeah. It's the kayak of the sky.
So there's no fuselage.
No,
there's no chance for survival. If this fucking thing crashes,
there is no way this thing would fly ever.
Magic and technology are equal.
It is the
in
Eternia. Size of a white water rafting raft with wings.
It's I would say that it's even smaller, but yeah. So they're showing just the catastrophe, and I say, "Oh shit!" And then, of course, we hear Stratos's voice. "Looking for someone?
You need friends?"
"No, Stratos, we already told you."
"Stratos, where were you?" "I don't want to talk about it." I mean, you seem like your people are like hundreds of miles away from here. "Yeah, they sure are."
Yeah, what was the name of his...
The Stratonians? I have no idea.
Yeah,
Avion.
Avion, that's what it was.
Avion is, it's fine.
Avion isn't even close to
I was
Stratos.
Masturbating in the field.
No, in a tree.
Just looking at birds. That's what I'm into. Stratos, I'm a bird man.
This is true.
I could watch a woman lay eggs all day.
"I get it, Stratos."
"Have you..."
Attila was
"Have
an
you
egg.
Ever been to Egg Hub?" "Oh."
"Oh, yes. I love Egg Hub. I'm a premium member." sweet eggs.
Okay. I'm sorry just, I made the joke. I'm just going to move on.
Sorry, I was sorry, I was masturbating. I coo when I'm horny.
Oh god.
So
as god damn it. So as Stratos is just kind of hovering in the air with them. Weren't they like hanging on to like his body at that point?
Well, no, at that point they're on the ground.
Oh, and
everybody's
it was
on the ground.
And it was, well, yeah.
But so, Skeletor has beelined it towards Pallas Eternia.
Right.
And that's when He-Man goes, "Stratos, take Teela and Man-at-Arms and fly to Pallas Eternia. I'll take Battle Cat. We haven't a moment to lose. And they have quite a head start.
And so I turn to you and I go, well, wait, why doesn't Stratos take He-Man and then Teela and Man-at-Arms can take Battlecat? And you turned around and you just go,
nope.
And we started laughing so hard we had to stop the episode for like 5 minutes. That wrecked us for this episode. I didn't take very good notes after this because it was just, why don't you take this common sense solution? Stratos can fly faster.
Right.
Than Battlecat can run. He's got a fucking rocket on his back.
Right.
And he's a bird man.
Yeah. And it's probably easier for him to hold on to He-Man
than it is to hold on to Man-at-Arms and Teela.
Which we see later in easily the worst animation I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, they are both holding onto his wrists as he's flying them around.
Like, they truly only had one cell, and it just slowly moves across the screen.
All right, man, let's try to get through this as fast as we can.
All right.
So,
Skeletor shows up at Palace Eternia. Palace Eternia now becomes the easiest thing in the world to conquer. Because once this Trachodon bumps its head against the castle walls, King Radner's like, we out.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Yeah. Where he's like, if you don't give up Castle Eternia or Palace Eternia, my Trachodon here, my Aposaurus, is going to go nuts. And tear your entire palace apart. Which, A, bullshit. B, where are the rest of the fucking guards?
Where's the guards?
Don't they have, like, gun turrets and shit? We've seen them shooting at Trapjaw when he's on a sky sled.
Isn't there a second in command in Palace Eternia? Like, why does everything have to be Man-at-Arms or Teela?
Well, they do have 10 people total. And they all look like they're, like, just out of high school.
They're all waiting to be murdered.
Yeah.
All of them. They all have that look like, nobody wanted this from me.
They are red shirts. They are target practice. You're right. King Radner is just like, oh, yeah, I give up.
Yeah,
I'm not going to put up a fight. Like, he turns to his wife, who was just like, to keep you safe, I'm going to give up. But, like, all I could think of is, like, you didn't even try to fight. You didn't put her in the panic room.
Nope.
And, like, roll up your sleeves. You didn't do shit.
He didn't hit an emergency button. There was no call to action.
He doesn't have, like, a life alert bracelet. Nothing. He is unprepared. We now know how easy it is to take over Palace Eternia.
Oh, yeah.
If Teela, Man-at-Arms, or He-Man are nowhere around.
I just put conquering Eternia? Not hard.
Not at all. And so, Jesus.
Well, they go to the dungeon. He-Man eventually shows up.
Well, hold on. They go to the dungeon along with Edwina and Orko. Mm-hmm. And so the king and queen are kind of talking amongst themselves. Just, all right, so how, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of here? This sucks being in this dungeon. Maybe we should have made the dungeon nicer. Maybe we should have put down fresh hay. Whatever. And Edwina's like, oh, Borko, right? And he's just like, yeah, close enough. And she's like, aren't you a magician or wizard of some kind? Like, yeah, I am. I'm the palace magician. Yeah, well, so can you, like, get us out of here and stuff? And he's like, yeah, sure. And so he, I don't know, says some dumb bullshit spell. And the two of them, they disappear.
They get outside.
They reappear out. Like, outside of the castle walls. And he's like, oh, my God. Like, one of my spells worked.
He's amazed.
The fuck? And she is already half a field away from him.
Right.
Like, see you later, nerd. So, He-Man shows up. I think he, like, punches the Aposaurus in the foot.
Right.
And so it runs away. And he turns to Battlecat. And he was like, he's tougher than most.
Makes no sense.
Made
no sense.
like, what?
He's also super cavalier with the Sword of Power.
He just throws it
by the blade.
He does. He throws it by the blade, and it bounces off the Dracodon's back. And then I was just thinking to myself, like, well, how now are you going to deflect spells or lasers or any other possible projectile?
It doesn't matter, Matt.
Because we would they would find some other device that he's had, like his belt or his iron cross or whatever, this whole time. And it's like, oh, by the way, did you know this creates a force field? Like, no, I didn't, because it never has before.
But don't you worry, because Man at Arms, Teela, and Strato show up in the throne room to usurp Evil Lyn and Skeletor
and Beastman. I love that. I love that Evil Lyn and Skeletor, the first thing they do after putting them in the prison cells,
they pour some wine for themselves.
They pour some wine and they're sitting in the thrones. And they're just like, it's pretty nice. Yeah, these are nice thrones. Yeah.
It's great thrones.
So he's talking about how he will rule Eternia. And she's like, don't you mean we? And you just see Beastman's face like, the fuck? Like, I'm pretty sure that you and I were ready to get new jobs.
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
I thought you said we were leaving.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Shh. I'm sitting on a throne right now. This is the closest that I'm going to get. It's not like we're going to keep it for long. Look, Cleveland can wait.
But that's where my family lives.
Kind of a merman, beast man hybrid.
I thought that was fine. Anyway, so
Rawr.
So beast man, Skeletor's just like, hey, beast man, go attack them with something. So beast man runs over and he tries to push a statue on them, and for the first time in the series so far, Man at Arms Duncan actually uses one of his wrist blasters, but he doesn't use it to like shoot a bolt. He uses it to put the statue back.
And then, I thought he made it fall on Beastman.
Yeah, but he like writes it and then has it fall on Beastman. So now Beastman's trapped under this stupid statue. And so then Skeletor's like, hey, Evil Lyn, go. Oof, Jesus.
Go
get them. I'm just going to sit here and not help in any way.
As is my desire.
Yeah. So she runs over there. I think she starts to cast a spell, and Stratos is just like, nope. Grabs her, takes her up, and hangs her on a ledge. And then flies down and is like, well, that takes care of her. Like, what? Do you have to have your feet on the ground to do magic? Is that how this goes?
That is exactly how it works.
Oh, man.
She's earth magic.
Maybe that's why Orko's magic sucks so much. So
he's wind magic.
Wind magic. Well, is that related to street magic?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Orko and David Blaine used to work together. Yeah, Orko was really great at sleight.
Yeah. The card tricks he could pull. Kept him in trim for weeks. So I still have like 4 or 5 more lines of notes. So anyway, He-Man.
Here's the notes that I have left. Twernt nothing.
Oh Jesus.
Dat puss. Friendship.
All right, I'm just gonna read my notes. Stratos drops Evil Lyn off on a ledge. Ape attacks palace again. Dorko gets his medallion. He-Man and Battle Cat fight Ape. Edwina still wants magic shit from Orko. I'll be your best friend? Orko wishes things had never happened. Shit disappears. King Radner casts shade at Edwina. Orko plays joke on bitch. So, that literally, those two things and notes are really all you need to know about the rest of this.
Yep.
Orko gets the medallion, goes over to Edwina and is like, hey, so like, did you want to did you want to get like a coffee later? And she was like, oh, I've got stuff to do. Like,
God, bitch.
But King says, I wish this never happened. I was expecting everything to go in reverse.
Yep.
To the point where like Edwina shows up or whatever. And then he would just be like, you a bitch. But no, instead, just the bad guys disappear and Orko and everybody else retain their knowledge. They then show up in the throne room and everyone's like, no, good job, Orko. Like, I'm sorry you lost the one thing that made you useful. But like, no, that was a good job this one time. And so Edwina is just like, yeah, if only you hadn't got rid of that thing that made me like you for 10 seconds. And then Radnor, whatever, is just like, bitch, shut up.
Yeah, he for real cast the most amount of shade he's ever cast.
Yeah, where he's just like, you are pathetic. I'm not even sure you're really my niece.
You have a lot to learn before you come back here.
Yeah, because you're not welcome until you grow up. Peace.
Deuces.
Yeah, so Orko flies up to her. He's like, oh, hey, I got you this going away present. And I just turn to you and I go, it's a turd. I was really hoping that she'd open it and it would be literally an Orko floating turd.
What if it was like a ghost turd?
Now she would be haunted. She'd be a turd
for the rest of her days.
Oh, man. Writing room. That is exactly what that gift would have been.
Cursed ghost turd.
Cursed ghost turd, man.
And then they would sell it, like, get your Eternia ghost turd.
And it would be like, it'd be transparent, but just like a little bit of a green tint to it.
Yep.
But it would have a light on the inside. And that would like pulse like
ghost
an LED.
Ghost turd.
Oh, I've got the ghost turd. Ooh, here's Moss Man.
Oh, it's haunting my dreams.
Pretty much how that commercial would have gone.
It's the worst prank Orko's ever played.
Ghost. Oh, goddamn these hiccups. Ghost turd comes with everything you see here, haunting your dreams, not included. From Mattel.
Zing.
Then we get the end of the episode. We get our lesson, and this lesson was all about friendship.
Yeah, hey. You know what? Friendship don't cost a thing, baby.
Don't cost a thing.
If you have to buy your friends, you don't really have friends.
Then they ain't your friends, baby.
Nope. Nope.
So we... Damn it. We wrote down alternate lessons.
Alternate lessons. Mine isn't very nice, but...
Mine isn't nice either.
Mine was bitches, am I right?
Mine was bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. Maddie, we did another one.
Oh, man, we really did. And I just want to get out in front of this and say, like... Typically, I try my best not to sound like a sexist or a misogynist. You would have had to have seen Edwina, okay? Because if it had been a man, I'd be calling him all kinds of names. There just aren't many gender-specific names for women that I'm willing to say. So bitch is basically it.
If you want to get in contact with us on Facebook, we are facebook.com/matterspod. On Twitter at MattersPod. And do we have an email?
I don't think we do, actually.
We should probably
have MattersPod@gmail.com. We'll get on that, everybody, and we'll let you know. I am at Karate Dracula on Twitter and Underwater Matt on Facebook.
I am at Matt Noss on Twitter and Facebook. Oh, I am at Matt Noss on Twitter and Facebook. So much editing that I might not do.
You're not going to do it.
So, there's another one. Oh, boy.
Yeah, and also on Instagram, at Karate Dracula. We will see you next week on
Matters of the Universe.
The Strain. I'm really hoping that you'll say The Strain and then hiccup.
I'll give it time. I don't think I have another one coming. So.
All right.
There it is. I had to think I wasn't going to do it, so I could do it. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, my God. That was great.